Welcome to Grounded Wellness, your go-to podcast for simplified and trusted information on how to live a more non-toxic and holistic life. We're your hosts. I'm Bethany McDaniel, founder of Primally Pure, biohacking enthusiast and mom of three.
And I'm Courtney O'Connor, holistic esthetician with over 15 years experience in the healing power of touch and holistic skincare rituals.
Each week, you'll find us here at the Regenerative Farm, grounding with our feet in the soil, having candid, out-of-the-box conversations with leading experts in holistic health, skincare, regenerative agriculture, and more. Let's dig in. Hello, good morning, everyone, and welcome to the Grounded Wellness Podcast. I am Bethany, the founder of Primally Pure, and I'm here with Courtney, our holistic esthetician, and we are at the Primal Pastures and Primally Pure Regenerative Farm to record this podcast. We have been talking about doing this for so long now, and I can't believe we're finally doing it.
I know, I'm so excited. We are here on the regenerative farm, fully grounding, hence the name of the podcast, Grounded Wellness. We are not wearing any shoes as we record this episode and all the episodes to follow, really harnessing the healing power of the earth. So earthing and grounding has been studied and proven to repair inflammation in the body and really restore homeostasis and reset the nervous system. And I already feel more at ease and calm recording our first podcast episode, being grounded and barefoot on the earth. So I'm so grateful to be here on the farm and with you.
Same. I know it has such a grounding, calming effect on the nervous system. So It's a great way to kick this thing off. And we also have liver smoothies. Liver is one of the most nutrient-dense foods on the planet, if not the most nutrient-dense. Nothing really compares to it from a nutrient density standpoint, but it tastes really bad, I think. I'm just being honest. I don't think it tastes good at all. And so this is how I do liver. I puree the liver, and then I freeze little cubes of it, and I'll just plop a few of those into a smoothie. This recipe I've like worked on for a while, and I feel like I've kind of perfected it. You should try it. I want to see what you think. Have you ever had a liver smoothie?
You got me on the liver smoothie train a couple years ago.
Okay.
But I definitely had to keep tweaking it, and I added a ton of mint and a ton of honey to try to mask the liver. Yeah. But I'll eat anything if I know it's good for me and my skin.
Yeah.
So
this is good for you and your skin.
I will say liver is one of the foods that I recommend for skin health always. It's like number one. Yeah.
So many B vitamins, it's amazing.
I would definitely drink this every day. Yeah.
Can you guess the ingredients?
Bethany, this is so good. Blueberries for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Raw milk.
Yes.
Honey from the farm.
Uh-huh. The mint is from the farm too.
Love that.
And liver, of course. I think that's everything. And then just...
Amazing.
Yeah, blueberries, raspberries, strawberries.
Okay. Yeah, this is delicious.
Good. I'm so glad you like it.
Thank you for making it for us.
So our intention with this podcast is really for it to be an extension of the education that we've always provided as a brand. So we've always put a lot of time and energy into our blog and social media content because to us, like, yes, we want everyone to use our products. We want people to stop using products that are filled with toxic chemicals and switch to clean products. But there's so much more to skin health than just the products we use. There's our lifestyle, there's our diet, there's our mindset, there's so much. And we just thought this would be a cool way to continue to prioritize education in a way that is just really digestible. And for me personally, podcasting just aligns with my personal values. Like, you can download a podcast, go for a walk, and just listen, absorb the information. You know, you can like just sit outside and be grounded and listen to a podcast versus like when you're staring at a screen scrolling on social media. There's just so many downsides to that. It's not that's not like where I want to spend my time.
And I feel like for me, I'm not a mother yet, but I'm surrounded by so many moms that although we have so much valuable information on our blog or in email, new moms, especially or moms with many kids, aren't going to take the time or have the time to really read a full book or a full blog post. And so I feel like by reformatting these really valuable resources and bringing on other experts, we do interview experts on our blog, but having more of a conversational connection and sharing education in this way, I feel like it'll just be more available to women or people in every and any stage of life or any season that you find yourself in. So hopefully just we're able to reach more people with this like very valuable and truly life transforming information. And I feel like even just being here on the farm, so whether you're listening or you're watching the podcast, I just hope too that just this lifestyle and this space that we're filming just inspires you to live a more regenerative and back to basics lifestyle.
Yeah, and so we're going to have a few different types of episodes. We're going to interview guests, as Courtney mentioned, a lot of industry experts in the wellness and skincare world. We are each going to be doing some solo episodes. We are going to be doing some episodes together. Really just a variety of different formats.
With these episodes upcoming, we're definitely going to be going against the grain and digging deeper in a lot of unconventional topics to help you heal your skin and your well-being within. We're definitely going to touch on taboo topics that not a lot of people are talking about or that are typically avoided in this space, sharing our takes and industry experts' takes on some of those burning questions that you want to know more about.
We are a very unconventional skincare company. So we believe in regenerative agriculture. I know sustainability has been trending for a while, but sustainability is actually just treading water. And just like we're on this regenerative farm where the goal is to regenerate the health of the soil and make it more biodiverse so that it can sequester more carbon from the atmosphere and actually improve the health of our planet. So that is our hope and our goal and what we're moving towards in terms of sourcing ingredients. And with the skin, we want to regenerate the health of the skin. We don't want it to just stay the same. So that is kind of like a core value of ours, as well as using animal products. That's something that differentiates our brand. And for a while, I think like vegan skincare products were the trend because people just didn't, it kind of freaked people out, I think, this idea of using animal-based products in our skincare. But when I started Primally Pure, I had learned a lot about the benefits of tallow and how it's been used ancestrally for centuries, and really wanted to include that in our products. So I did, and it's been cool to kind of see that ingredient become popular now. Another thing that we talk about often is just the importance of movement in the skin. And Courtney really kind of like turned all of us on to this concept. But when you get a treatment like Botox, right, it paralyzes the skin tissue and prevents any movement from happening. But what I've learned from you is that movement is really essential for healthy, glowing skin. And so we offer a lot of products like gua sha stones and facial cupping, and Courtney provides a lot of awesome education on how to use those products, because that is huge for healthy skin, like boosting circulation. Do you want to expand on that a little bit?
Well, I feel like we've even heard like sitting is the new smoking, and how detrimental a stagnant lifestyle is just for our overall health. And our skin is the same. While so many modern treatments are inhibiting that movement, it also inhibits flow of lymph and blood, which are essential for that healthy, youthful skin, which we will definitely touch on and go deeper into.
We'll get more into that.
Movement is key.
I think the last thing, which I touched on a little bit earlier, is we really see skincare as a whole body approach. So the skin, you can't isolate the skin from the rest of the body. So while the products that we use are super important and what we apply topically is huge for getting healthy skin, we also see like everything that we do as being skincare. So what we eat is skincare. What we, you know, our habits are skincare. All of that plays a role in the health of our skin because our whole system is connected.
Yes, definitely. I love that. Such powerful founding philosophies, and it's really beautiful to see how they are so unique and unconventional, yet truly when you start to unpack them further, it just makes sense. Like, it just is truly getting back to those ancestral roots that have been time-tested and long-standing to really support our overall health in every way.
Yeah, absolutely. And just a brief, in a nutshell, history of how I started Primally Pure. I'm not going to get into it in full detail right now. We'll do that in a future episode. But I started the company back in 2015, but was working on it for several years before that. I dealt with acne growing up and went the conventional route for several years. I think did a lot of damage to my skin and body, unfortunately, during that time. And then it wasn't until my husband with his dad and brothers started a regenerative livestock farm, Primal Pastures, which is where we are today, that I was just clued into a whole new way of eating, a whole new way of living that is just more in tune with ancestral practices and non-toxic living. So when I kind of shifted, started to make some of those shifts, diet was one of the first things that I changed. I noticed that my skin was a whole lot healthier at that point. And then I was thinking about what other areas I could start to clean up in my life. And skincare and personal care products were the next place that I looked. But back in 2012, when I was really digging into this stuff, there weren't a whole lot of natural, like good natural products on the market. And so I just started experimenting with making my own stuff. I started with deodorant because I was really alarmed by how toxic conventional deodorant really is. And I started formulating my own replacement in my kitchen with natural ingredients. Probably came up with close to like 200 different variations before I had a formula that I was happy with. I started selling it on the Primal Pastures website. The response was really good. And initially I just thought it would be a hobby, but I was really fueled by the positive feedback that I was getting from customers and decided to kind of turn this into a full-blown business. And a lot has happened along the way, but here we are today.
And so much full circle. Yeah, it's just so beautiful to see the story started on the farm and here we are back on the farm.
Totally. Yeah. And then Courtney came along a few years into me starting Primally Pure. And that was wild how that happened. Do you want to talk about that?
Oh my gosh. I love this story so much because I feel like it's so divine and serendipitous how our paths crossed at the perfect time. So I had been an esthetician for probably 7 or 8 years prior to being introduced to Primally Pure and discovering the brand. And I was kind of at this crossroads in my own life of like working for a really big international beauty brand, but realizing the greenwashing that was happening and wanting to seek out a much simpler, cleaner option for my skincare treatments. And then that's when I discovered Primally Pure. You had just rebranded, I think. And so the minimal packaging, the minimal ingredient list completely drew me in. And I just knew I needed to reach out. So we just like had a few email exchanges. I was living overseas at the time doing missions work and was returning back to Southern California and was like, I need to do something different and just felt the pull to Primally Pure. And so I was invited out to meet the team, which at the time there were only 3 of you guys on the team. And I thought I was actually headed to the farm. I didn't realize you had your first headquarters at that point. And I was so desiring to work with the brand because I just wanted to be a part of what you were creating that I was like, if they're on the farm, like I'll scoop pig poop. Like I don't even care. I just want to be around what they're doing.
You were so willing to do whatever. It was great.
And then we met and it just was like this instant bond, instant connection. Even then I shared my dream and heart and hope to open a little holistic spa space one day. And it's just wild to see even like years later, that dream has become reality. And it just was a really beautiful, divine moment of meeting you guys. And like that moment is still imprinted in my mind. Like I remember exactly what you were wearing, like where we were sitting.
And I totally remember it too.
Like 8 years later.
I know.
Almost.
So wild. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Courtney mentioned she always wanted a holistic spa. And so we started out. Well, she started out, I think you were like shipping products.
Doing everything.
In the beginning. You were doing a lot of different things. You were helping with marketing. And then a little while in, we had like a the opportunity for her to do a little spa at our headquarters. We called it a spa-fist because it was her office slash spa, but like just for the team.
Yes.
So she would give the team facials.
We were testing out the Primally Pure products in a facial treatment setting. Yep.
And then when we moved into what's our current headquarters, we were looking for a space that could actually accommodate a spa. And so at that point, we opened up the Primally Pure Spa to the public. And it's just been such a cool thing to offer our community. People really love coming in, getting facials from Courtney and now from Danielle. And people travel a long ways too to come see
us.
You have
people come in, yeah, like driving hours.
Yeah, which is just a testament to you.
And like, privilege.
Courtney's the most gifted facialist ever. I mean, her hands, her soothing voice, like the whole experience. She gave me a facial at the farm yesterday, like open air facial under a tree. With like just perfect amount of breeze, perfect amount of sunlight. It was unreal.
The most resetting, like nervous system supportive treatment. And we do definitely prioritize the facial massage in our treatments, which I think people are really seeking.
Mm-hmm.
And they're seeking those cleaner, non-toxic options because the spa has just been, or the spa industry has been saturated with chemicals and really aggressive treatments. So to find a spa and facial experience that really aligns with people's values is hard to find. Thankfully, there is a growing movement of holistic estheticians and more natural spa spaces, but it's a gift to get to offer that to our community.
Yeah, I always say I have zero interest in going to a typical conventional spa and just having someone slap product on my face. Like I can do a skincare routine myself.
Exactly.
But like to sit there and receive an hour of gua sha or intraoral buccal massage or facial cupping. Like, I'm not going to do that myself, nor like could I to
so
the level that
when
you do
someone
it.
Else is yes. doing it for you.
You don't relax as much. Yeah, it's pretty amazing.
Yes. And in the treatment, we definitely use fewer products because the focus and emphasis is on facial massage.
Yeah.
So I feel like that even leads us into some of the hot takes that we want to talk about together. And the first one is skinimalism. So it really is that less is more, the fewer ingredients, better results. And really it's paring down the products that you're using to benefit your microbiome. I feel like marketing has really sold us that we need these 10-step skincare routines or all these active ingredients to actually see results, when more often than not, it's detrimental to the microbiome. It's disrupting that delicate ecosystem that we always talk about. And so by simplifying the ingredients, but using more pure and potent ingredients, you're actually able to start to heal your skin and balance out so many of those conditions that we see surface because of that impaired microbiome. So we are big fans of skinimalism at Primally Pure and at the spa.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, next hot take. We may lose people right off the bat for this one. This can be a very polarizing topic, but Botox and fillers. And so starting this off, I just want to say, like, this isn't like an issue of morality. Like, mm-hmm. I have a lot of friends that do both of these things.
It yes.
isn't like meant to cause like shame or guilt. But we do have a strong stance on this. I think that Botox and fillers are going to be the breast implants of, you know, the next generation.
Wow.
Like 5-10 years from now, how everyone now is talking about breast implant mm-hmm. illness and symptoms from breast implants that no one knew about, you know, 10 years ago. And now it's like this hot topic that most people are aware of. Like if you're going to get breast implants, there's a very real chance that you will experience symptoms years down the road. Like I think that is going to be the conversation around Botox.
Mm-hmm.
5-10 years from now. I mean, it already kind of is happening. Even like podcasters that I listen to talking about their own experiences with Botox
mm-hmm.
and getting sick from Botox. Like I have friends that have gotten Botox and have had symptoms for the weeks following injections. And it makes sense because Botox is botulinum toxin. It's one of the most poisonous substances known to man. And it was originally created for use in chemical warfare. So this is
crazy.
Not a harmless substance. And when we are injecting this into our faces, albeit in small amounts, that still contributes to your toxic load over time. And so when we are talking about like toxic buckets, and everyone starts out with like, you know, relatively like low toxic loads, but we are just adding to them. Every toxic exposure is like a drop in the bucket. And when the bucket overflows, that's when we start to experience symptoms. There's a lot of things we can't control in our modern world. We are exposed to toxins inevitably every time we go outside of our homes. Like even if we have a clean home, we're gonna be exposed to toxins in the air, in the water, you know, walking in the grocery store next to an aisle filled with cleaning supplies, like we're inhaling VOCs. You know, there's so many things we can't control, but this is something we can control. We can choose to say no to it. And you have a really also beautiful perspective on aging gracefully and what that could look like. I'd love for you to share a little bit about like your take on that.
Yeah. So I feel like definitely on that toxic buildup side. And then I think it really is like just wanting to educate people on the risks. So they're making a really empowered, educated choice. And then another thing that Botox and filler does is, as we were just kind of touching on the benefits of facial massage and movement, it inhibits that flow. It creates these blockages for that flow of lymphatic fluid, which is our body's natural detoxification system, and also creates blockages in the circulatory system. And blood is truly feeding the skin from within. It's carrying that oxygen-rich blood and those nutrients to the skin. And so I actually believe, as you're talking about Botox and filler being the breast plant conversation in 5 years, it's also actually we're going to see people age more rapidly in decades to come, because it is shutting down these vital functions that the skin needs to be youthful, to be firm, to be resilient. And so, and if we think of movement and exercise, we, our muscles in our body, if we don't use them, they atrophy. They actually waste away over time. And so through facial massage, through movement, where these treatments are shutting down that movement, we are missing out on a major component of youthful skin. So I like to think of facial massage like Pilates for the face, because we're lengthening and strengthening. So we're creating that firmer muscle and that firmer tissue over time. And on the aging gracefully, I think too, it's just a conversation around like aging is actually such a gift. There's so much beauty in getting older. And I wrote a poem for Primely Pure blog called The Lines of Life. And it touches me even when I read it, and I've just heard such beautiful feedback from people. We had one customer reach out asking if she could print it and frame it in her home. And it really is just is speaking to the lines that form on our face, really truly tell the story of our lives, the emotions that we have felt, whether it be like really overwhelming stress and worry or abundant celebration and joy. And those are moments and memories we don't want to erase. Like we really want to embrace the gift that life is, and we're seeing it written on our faces. So we obviously want to work with the skin to support healthy, resilient skin in the long term, while still seeing our skin and seeing ourselves with compassion and for the stories that it tells.
Yeah. Yeah, I love that. If you haven't seen this poem, just go to our blog and type in The Lines of Life, search it. It'll come up. It's amazing. When we posted initially, I had several friends text me. They were just like, wow, this is so cool that someone is like talking about this and shedding this new light on aging. And I always think about it with my daughters too. Like, I don't want them to see me trying to like constantly like keep up, you know, doing something, I guess, that has these risks and side effects in order to like quote improve my appearance, or like I want them to see me being okay with how I'm aging. And I think that there is so much undue pressure put on us as women. I think a lot of it is like self-imposed, and we're kind of putting it on each other by creating this idea that we have to like maintain this youthful appearance indefinitely, and it's just not reality.
Yeah.
And I feel like I would love everyone to just come together and say, okay, we're just going to put this aside. This isn't realistic. There's a lot of downsides, and move on. But I want to make the distinction real quick too. We're mostly like discussing the effects of Botox, and just to touch on fillers quickly.
Yeah.
Fillers are different than Botox. Hey, chicken. They are made of synthetic hyaluronic acid. And so while our skin does make its own hyaluronic acid, this is a foreign hyaluronic acid that is injected into the skin. And the notion has been that fillers dissolve naturally in, I think, what do people say, like 6 months, 2 years, something like that. But really they can last anywhere up to 12 years.
Yeah.
They've been found in ultrasounds and in surgeries like 12 plus years later. And this is becoming more common knowledge now.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of people will then, a lot of times fillers can migrate too to different areas of the face. So people want them dissolved. And you can use an enzyme that dissolves hyaluronic acid to do that. But then you run the risk of dissolving your own native hyaluronic acid, which no one wants.
Want to do that?
No. Filler can create those blockages that you were mentioning as well. They can also become inflamed mm-hmm. when there's an unrelated immune response. We interviewed a holistic-minded plastic surgeon about fillers, and we did a blog post on them. He was saying, his name's Dr. Chestnut, that he had a lot of patients that during COVID, their immune system would become triggered, and then their fillers would become swollen and inflamed. So, and he had seen this with different things too, but just kind of interesting that, you know, your body can kind of target that like foreign substance
yep.
when it's experiencing inflammation.
Mm-hmm. And back to your point of just like those toxic buckets, it's like every body is at a different state or stage and could have different responses or reactions depending on
yes.
what they're already exposed to. Oh, you just bit me. So moving into another take, which also is kind of in the same line as
you lose some more people.
Yeah. Which I feel like as an esthetician, it is truly blasphemy to say that I do not apply sunscreen at the end of my facial treatments, nor do I wear it every day or recommend that people do. I feel like in aesthetic school, that was the golden rule, like the gold standard of every skin tip was SPF, SPF, SPF. And even today, I feel like I hear so frequently that the number one cause of aging is the sun, which I actually completely disagree with that. I think that the sun holds so many medicinal benefits and so much healing. And I believe actually that the number one cause of premature aging is stress, but we will talk about that at a later time.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like when we really respect the sun and harness its healing power gradually and in moderation at either sunrise or sunset, or I feel like we're inside most of the time anyways, that when we get those little bursts of sunshine going from the office to our car, we actually need that. And a key part and reason for that is the vitamin D, which acts like a hormone in our bodies. Every single cell in our bodies has a vitamin D receptor. That's how important it is for cellular function, bone health, brain health, supporting our circadian rhythm, our immune function. It literally is connected to everything, yet so many of us are vitamin D deficient. So by getting sun at the right time, at the right amount of time, and without that blockage of SPF, we're actually able to bring that balance and homeostasis back to our bodies.
So most conventional sunscreens, they do a really good job of blocking UVB rays, which are the rays that cause us to burn. They're also the rays that give us vitamin D, but they do not do a very good job of blocking UVA rays. And so the standards in America are very poor for being able to claim to be a broad spectrum UVA, UVB blocking sunscreen. In Europe, they're much more strict on that. But here you can claim that and actually have a very imbalanced ratio of UVB, UVA balance. So UVA rays are the rays that cause more deep, long-term damage to the skin. And so not only are you incurring more damage, but you're also not getting the vitamin D mm-hmm. that you block from the UVB rays. To talk real quick on sunscreen, I love zinc-based sunscreens because zinc is going to provide that physical barrier of UVA, UVB, actual broad spectrum protection and not just the poor imbalanced ratio of protection that most chemical sunscreens offer. That's just a little aside on sunscreen. But also, when we think about the awareness on sunscreen and sun protection in the last few decades, like, everyone has been talking about this for decades, like pushing sunscreen every day, but rates of skin cancer are steadily increasing in the meantime. So it's like, at some point we have to step back and just rethink this of like, okay, are we thinking about this the right way? And that's why I love just taking a common sense approach to sun protection. So like having a healthy respect for the sun and the fact that we don't want to burn, like we don't want to incur sun damage. That's definitely, that can happen for sure. We're not like neglecting that reality.
Yes.
So it's irresponsible to stay in the sun for hours and hours on end unprotected. Like that can cause your skin harm 100%. So neither of us are advocating for that. But at the same time, we can't just be afraid of the sun and slather sunscreen all over our bodies and wear UPF 50 clothing every single day. Like, that's not healthy either. So I think kind of finding that happy medium of getting like unprotected sun exposure, but then covering up when necessary. I love hats for covering up, you know, wearing protective clothing, finding shade, wearing sunscreen, a good zinc-based sunscreen when necessary. That is kind of my take on it and how I think about like living in harmony with the sun.
Definitely. And I feel like there's so many internal ways that we can naturally protect our skin. Like, I know that you always speak about astaxanthin, and I think you take it internally too.
Yeah, I have.
In supplement form.
Yeah. And it's also in our plumping serum. It's a great antioxidant with skin protective components.
It's in our antioxidant balm. It's like 6,000 times more effective than vitamin C. It's wild. And even surfers take it internally to help protect their skin. So there's and like obviously consuming more antioxidants in your food.
Avoiding inflammatory foods.
Yes. Because burning too is that inflammatory response. So by focusing on more anti-inflammatory foods and removing seed oils from your diet, it helps to create a more resilient response to the sun.
Yes. Do you want to get into some holistic health tips?
Oh my gosh, I would love to.
Okay. Let's hear your top three holistic health skincare tips.
So my first holistic tip for beauty and well-being is microbiome care, which we have touched on how essential it is for this ecosystem to be thriving and working in harmony. And there's so many things that can come to disrupt that. And our microbiome is so connected to our immunity. So our skin is our first line of defense. And if that's impaired, it can impact our wellness within. But it's not just our skin microbiome, it's our gut microbiome, our oral microbiome. They're all intricately connected. So as we said at the start too, everything is skincare. By taking care of your oral microbiome, your gut, you're going to be seeing the benefits in your skin too. So I just have a little tip for each one. The skin microbiome tip is to definitely do more infrequent exfoliation. So less exfoliation and more gentle methods. There are so many harsh and aggressive exfoliations or really chronic consistent exfoliation products that really strip and disrupt that delicate barrier. So looking for more gentle approaches like facial dry brushing or even raw honey, I love as a little enzymatic exfoliant.
Which is in all of our masks.
It's in all of our masks, yes, highly recommend. Then for the gut microbiome, tip for that is to just eat more in season. So eating seasonally, even regeneratively, so having more diversity in your food and more nutrient density. And by eating locally and in season, you're giving your gut all that goodness in those nutrients for your gut. Then for the oral microbiome, I know Bethany and I are big fans of oil pulling. So oil pulling and tongue scraping help to purify the mouth while keeping, again, that delicate microbiome intact.
Can I ask you a question about tongue scraping?
Yeah.
Okay, I've tried it. I don't know if I'm doing it right. Hmm. Do you see something?
Oh,
are you supposed to
gunk gets out.
I haven't noticed anything.
Oh, maybe that's a good sign.
Or am I not doing it? Do you have to be aggressive with it? Or can you just kind of lightly scrape?
Yeah, lightly scrape from the back to the front.
Okay.
I've heard it both ways where you tongue scrape prior to brushing. I like to tongue scrape after I brush.
And you get gunk.
But I do.
Okay.
Morning
I'll try
and
it
night.
Again.
I don't know. Maybe that's a good sign. You don't have any.
Maybe, or maybe I just
what
was going
too light.
What kind
of tongue scraper are you using?
It's just like a stainless steel
metal.
Yeah.
Hey, give it a go.
I'll like FaceTime you while I do
it. Yeah, please do. I'll assess the gunk situation.
And then you have to show me your gunk. I'll show you my gunk. You show me your gunk.
Oh my gosh, I love it. Done.
Okay, sorry to derail you.
So then second holistic health tip is hydration, which we also talk about a ton on our blog and on Instagram. So aging is simply drying out. Heard that quote once and it resonates with me so much. And our lymphatic system also is highly dependent on hydration. Dehydration contributes to a sluggish lymphatic system. And then our bodies are almost entirely comprised of water. So hydration internally and topically are going to really help to support skin health and just our energy levels, our mental clarity. And so sometimes it's not just drinking more water. I feel like we're always like, oh, you need to drink more water, but it's maximizing the water we're already drinking. So adding natural electrolytes, sea salt, lemon, chia seeds, different aspects to enhance that water absorption more deeper into the cells. And then topically, and gel waters. Love gel waters.
Yeah.
And melons are my all-time favorite hydrating food. That water is very similar to the makeup in our bodies, and it has electrolytes and silica and all this goodness for our skin. And then topically, I feel like our facial mists are some of the most overlooked products, but they're vital for that balanced moisture barrier. Your skin needs both water and oil. And so spritzing the mist and then applying the facial serum or the facial cream. I love to sandwich the cream and the serum with the mist, really boosting that water content. And lastly, vagus nerve exercises are profound for our skin and for our health. So the vagus nerve is the longest nerve within our body, and it actually helps to activate our parasympathetic nervous system, which is our rest and digest phase. And when we are in this mode, that's when healing can actually happen. So that's when we can regenerate and rejuvenate. And so a few vagus nerve exercises that I love to implement is stillness and prayer. I feel like we are in this constant state of stimulation in our world and in our culture. So just taking whether it's 2 minutes or 20 minutes or 2 hours when you have the time, but just prioritizing those slower spaces of solitude to reset and regain perspective, really engaging the parasympathetic system. Deep breathing changes, I feel like, our physiology immediately, especially focusing on your exhale. So that inhale, if you think about it, when we're in a state of stress, we like gasp or inhale, but when we're relaxed, we have that like sigh and that extended exhale. So really focusing on the exhale and my deep breathing. And then of course, facial massage. When we touch the skin, we touch the nervous system. We touch all those systems below the surface. And so incorporating facial massage as frequently as possible helps to engage the parasympathetic.
Love it.
What are yours?
Those are great. First, I wanna touch on, you said stillness. Okay, I want everyone to know about your stillness retreats. And
life changing.
Yeah, tell us a little bit about that. I want everyone to hear.
The first one I did that was probably the most profound was a few years ago. And again, I wrote a blog post about it because it was such a profound experience. And I feel like stillness and solitude is something that a lot of us can fear or we have resistant towards. I feel like I've become as well, just like so busy in my mind, and we can sometimes be afraid of what the stillness can surface because it allows for us to finally feel or for emotions to rise up there's this thing, it's actually called Sabbath sadness. Like once we slow down, it sometimes those harder emotions begin to rise up. But I feel like it actually creates this more regulated nervous system. It helps us to move through, because if we're not processing our emotions, they get stored in our muscles and they're going to have a long-term effect on our health. Our emotional body is also directly connected to our physical body. We can't, just like we can't isolate the skin, we can't isolate our emotions. And so for me, the stillness retreat, I shut off my phone, I put it on airplane mode.
How many days was it?
2 days.
Okay, so that sounds really hard.
48 hours.
And no talking.
I will say I am naturally an introvert and I am an Enneagram 9, if anyone knows what that means. So I crave more peace and harmony in my life. So I know naturally I already have those tendencies to like be by myself and have those spaces of solitude. So for someone else where they're this extrovert or they're just starting out, like just taking maybe a morning or an afternoon and shutting your phone off. And
I'm an introvert, and 2 days of complete like solitude and silence.
I didn't
still
play any music,
hard.
No yeah. podcast. I didn't That's honestly impressive. Even want to read because I didn't want to consume anything. I just wanted wow. all that was within to have the space to surface. Because I find too, we can just tend to suffocate and stuff. And I think once we move past that initial fear, we realize truly how fulfilling and freeing stillness can be.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Thanks for asking about it.
Yeah. My top three tips. Number one would be sleep, prioritizing sleep and a good night's rest every Amen. Night. And I think in order to do that, you have to really regulate your circadian rhythm. So that means like not looking at screens late at night. Even I like to wear my red light glasses like 1 or 2 hours before the sun goes down, or not before the sun goes down, but before I go to sleep. Because if you think back to hundreds of years ago, people were not, you know, using lights at nighttime.
Yeah.
Once the sun set, their bodies could kind of naturally wind down, and those sleepy time hormones would kick in, and those awake hormones would shut off. That all of that is regulated by light. And so with today's modern world, you just have to make a few tweaks in order to allow the circadian rhythm to be regulated. And so that means for me not looking at screens, wearing my amber lens glasses at night. I like to get fresh sunlight first thing in the morning, as soon as I can in the morning every day. And even I like my kids to go outside in the morning every day too, so their circadian rhythms can become regulated. And so that just turns on those awakening hormones so that by the time bedtime rolls around, you are ready to go to sleep and rest. I think another thing that gets neglected in terms of sleep is like hard work. So either mental or physical work. If you exert yourself mentally and or physically, at the end of the day, you're going to be tired, because that releases a hormone called adenosine. I never hear anyone talk about this, but when I found out about this, I was just like, whoa, that makes so much sense. So adenosine is activated by either physical or mental exertion, and adenosine helps with restful sleep, but it's only activated by engaging in that hard work. I mean, I could go on and on about sleep, but it's so important for just being able to repair inflammation and allowing the body and the skin to just rest and rejuvenate
yes.
overnight. So sleep is super good. Important. Also, avoiding inflammatory foods, like avoiding excess sugar, avoiding refined sugar, avoiding seed oils, avoiding foods that you just know are not, like, don't sit well with you.
Yep.
Avoiding processed foods, chemicals, food dyes, things like that. Just things that we weren't meant to consume, and things that can cause something called, we like to say, inflammaging. So that's premature aging caused by inflammation. And so when we're consuming foods that are causing inflammation in the body, we're just going to be less resilient overall. And we want that resiliency for long-term health and longevity and skin health.
Yep.
Okay, my last one, very similar to your last one, is nervous system support.
So good.
So yeah, I mean, you already touched on this, but de-stressing is just so important for skin health and overall health. Some of the things I like to do to support my nervous system are daily walks. You mentioned deep breathing. Love that. I love to do Wim Hof breathing. Mm-hmm. I have his app that I'll like put my phone in airplane mode. I keep saying put my phone in airplane mode. I love to do that because you're not getting the EMFs with airplane mode. So I have my phone in airplane mode any chance I can. But I'll do that with the Wim Hof app.
How do you feel doing the Wim Hof? I haven't tried it.
I love it. Yeah. I always feel like really clear and kind of like energized after. I like to do it in the mornings. Yeah. Kind of like resets and centers me.
Yes.
Yeah. Prayer. I have a PEMF mat that I like to lay on.
Is that the spiky one?
No.
Okay.
No, it's like pulsed electromagnetic frequency. Amazing. So you can set it to a certain frequency. Like there's an awake frequency. There's like a meditative restful frequency. So typically I like to do that one.
Yes.
And it, similar feel, I guess, to grounding. Like you just kind of feel like the energy is in your body is like rebalanced in the way it's supposed to be.
So good.
When you're on it. So I love doing that. I have an infrared sauna that I love to go in several times a week. So many things, but
On that topic, gonna kind of round out this episode with some quick questions to close us out. But budget aside, what is your biggest holistic health splurge that you can't get enough of?
Okay, my biggest holistic health splurge would probably be our hyperbaric chamber. So we recently invested in a hard shell hyperbaric chamber, and as our listeners can probably tell by now, like, I am a bit of a biohacker, so I love like nature ancestral practices, but I also love like modern biohacks. And so a hyperbaric chamber is one of those modern biohacks, and it's basically, it's a chamber and it's pressurized.
It sounds so intense.
It's kind of intense. You like get in it and you have to set it to the right pressure. So you're in this pressurized chamber and then you're breathing in a tube with like pure oxygen.
Wow.
And so that combination of the pure oxygen with the pressurized chamber, you're flooding your blood with oxygen, and then your blood is transporting that oxygen to all the tissues in your body. And so there's actually a ton of science and research on the benefits of hyperbaric chambers. They can be prescribed medicinally for certain applications, and there's so many uses for it even outside of what is like technically allowed to be prescribed, what it's allowed to be prescribed for in modern medicine.
But yeah, for sure.
It's really commonly used for like healing wounds that just won't go away for people, traumatic brain injury. It can flood the brain, like parts of the brain that have been cut off from oxygen and essentially not functioning for like years and years.
Wow.
It floods it with oxygen, essentially like brings that part of the brain back to life. It's pretty incredible. It's really powerful. That was like a big one that we decided to pull the trigger on. And
what have you noticed since doing it consistently?
So part of it for us was like mold detox, because we had a big like mold issue in our home. And it's something that like I can do, my husband, our kids, like all of us can do it.
June and Rosie go in there?
Yep. June
and Otto.
Rosie go in there. Otto hasn't been in yet. I need to like time it right, because he would go crazy just in there. So I need to like time it with a nap, and we haven't done him yet.
What do the girls think?
They love it, because we have like a portable DVD player that we take in there. You can't bring devices in there, which I kind of love, because they might explode because of the lithium batteries. But they have fun. They think they get like excited to go in, because they get to, we have like a DVD old school sleeve with different
DVDs.
So it's fun. It's like a fun thing. A fun thing for our family.
Amazing.
Yeah. And I've noticed better sleep for sure, and better energy throughout the day. Those are probably the two big things. Yeah.
That's a very new concept for me. So I need to give it a go one day.
I think we'll be hearing more about it in the coming years.
Yeah.
What about you?
Love it.
What's your biggest one?
Mine is the intraoral buccal sculpting facial massage. The first time I ever had it done, I was like, I didn't know I could feel this way. And it's definitely more of an expensive facial treatment on like spa menus. But like, if I could get it done every week, I would. I felt like I lost 5 pounds off of my face that I didn't even know was possible. And I do tend to carry a lot of tension and tightness in my jaw, and I sleep with a mouth guard at night because I grind or clench my teeth. And I like the release that I felt from that one facial massage, and I just feel like that nervous system reset every time. It's such a unique experience, but it works so much more deeply that if I could do that every week, I would.
Who did you get it from?
Elizabeth Carter, Honest Rituals.
Okay, yeah.
She was the one that first introduced me to it. And ever since
She's amazing.
It from her a few times, I was like, I have to learn this technique. And she even has her own unique spin to it. And then a couple years later, after receiving it from Elizabeth, I just knew I had to learn the technique. So got to train in LA with buccal.
I'm so glad you learned it, because I love receiving it from you. It really is so stress relieving and, yeah, like you mentioned, so sculpting, and it's awesome.
Yes, I love it. Okay, Bethany, what helps you feel most grounded?
Okay, what helps me feel the most grounded? Obviously grounding. So I'm like outside in my backyard, barefoot, every chance I get, running around with my kids. I have a few different types of grounding shoes that I like to wear out and about.
Do you have a favorite?
So I like Roam, R-A-U-M. I brought those with me on our summer road trip last year, and they're great just like slide-on shoes for just like, you know, going in town, doing different things. And then for like outdoor walks, I'm not really a runner, but I do a lot of walks like on trails and stuff. I like the Bahe like running shoes.
Oh, cool.
For that.
I haven't heard of that one.
Yeah. So they're both great. Prayer, deep breathing, kind of a lot of the same things that I just talked about for nervous system support. What about you?
Same. Truly. I try to be barefoot as much as possible. And thankfully I live at the beach, so it's acceptable to be barefoot like everywhere.
But
I
you go barefoot even when it's not socially, like Courtney shows up to weddings barefoot. Courtney will like go, you know.
Yes, I would come to work
you'll
barefoot.
You'll go anywhere barefoot.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Because truly like just having my bare feet in the earth, the sun on my skin, I just feel like all is well with the world when that's the case. And I just feel so held by God when I'm in nature. And it's such a huge perspective shift that it's like, even if there's something really stressful or overwhelming, it's like the ocean is still moving. Like the mountains are still in place. Like nature is still doing its thing.
Yeah.
And all is going to be well. Okay. Final question.
Okay.
What is your most cringeworthy moment before you knew better? Oh man.
Oh, there's so many. Okay, I would say skincare related. I think about high school. I was on the swim team and the water polo team, so I was in the pool all the time, you know, like two practices per day, most of the year. And so I was getting exposed to chlorine, a lot of chlorine. I was also dealing with acne at the time, and my dermatologist had me on several rounds of antibiotics that made me more susceptible to the sun and to sun damage. I was on all these like harsh ointments and creams. Retin-A Micro was one of them, like so intense. And I just think about the combination of like the chlorine with the creams I was using with the sun and just like how damaging and detrimental.
And how old were you around that time?
I mean like 14 to 18.
Okay. Yeah.
So
such
that,
young skin.
That makes me cringe.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, yeah, I did incur a lot of like sun damage and skin damage from, and just sensitivity kind of issues from all of that.
I think you're such a testament then. It's like, regardless of like our early days, like everything is repairable. Like through
the
lifestyle.
The skin is amazing.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like we truly can regenerate.
Yeah. Our bodies are incredible. And our bodies. Their ability to heal.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes.
What about you? Most cringeworthy moment?
Probably similar, just thinking back, because I have been obsessed with beauty and skincare my entire life, and I would just stock up on any product I could get my hands on. And I just think of just all the Neutrogena products, like all the artificial dyes,
clean and
colors.
Clear.
Yes.
All the brands.
And the fragrance, like, even my shampoo and conditioner, like Suave Coconut, like just all the things I was
herbal
truly...
essences.
Yes.
Oh my gosh. Why did we all use the same exact products?
I know.
All like the children of the 90s and early 2000s. It was like same lineup for everyone.
The marketing got us.
Yeah.
Totally.
They marketed specific things to us,
we
hardcore.
Did. We fell for it.
Mm-hmm.
And then also tanning beds.
Okay. Yeah.
Did that a lot.
Yeah. Man, you have changed so much.
Oh, we were just talking about too, because I used to wear so much makeup.
Yeah.
So that's actually very cringeworthy. I wore so much eye makeup.
Courtney showed me a picture of her in high school when she was a cheerleader.
Oh, college.
Okay, college. And just like eyes, like raccoon eyes lined, like all around with eyeliner.
I had a kid in high school ask me if I had a black eye because I was wearing so much like thick black eye makeup.
Oh,
and now
God.
It's like just mascara. It's because it's like now it's just skincare. Like when our skin is healthy and balanced, makeup is still fun, but you don't need to kick it on or hide underneath it.
Right.
Yeah.
Love that. Well, that concludes our very first episode of the Grounded Wellness Podcast. Thank you so much for joining us.
So much.
We are looking forward to a full season ahead of some amazing guests and just more time grounding and hanging out at the farm.
Yes.
So thank you so much. We hope you guys will stick around and just let us know on social media any topics, any guests that you want us to speak to.
And Bethany, this was so fun.
It was so fun. I can't believe we're finally doing this.
I love being on the farm.
We've been talking about starting a podcast for years and years and years.
Years.
Finally did it. Yeah.